Thank you, DV. I was asked to give you an update on needle punching in terms of machinery developments, which have given benefits in terms of product range, product quality, and production economics. In common with all non-woven processes, needling is preceded by a web formation process, and this is equally important to the bonding process in terms of providing good material uniformity and certain other characteristics. So all processes are two stages. One is web formation and then a bonding process, but both are equally important in terms of the final product. What I'm trying to do is to get the next slide. But, oh, I got it. Yeah. So this is needle. This is a needle loom. There are actually some exit rolls on here which pull the material through. So you're feeding a lofty web in. You can see how it's compacted during needling. It comes out much thinner. You note the careful attention that's paid to getting the web, compacting the web into the front row of the needles by way of these plastic fingers, which I now notice this morning everybody puts on their needle looms, but I have to say that Delo invented them. The important parameters on needling are the punch density, which is the number of punches per square inch or per square centimetre that is put into the material, and that is determined by the needle board density and by the advance per stroke. In other words, the speed at which the material is going through the needle loom, and the speed itself is governed by, to some extent, by the number of strokes per minute. The third important parameter is the depth of penetration, which is the distance that the needles pass below the top surface of the bed plate. And all that is related to the design of individual needles and the number of barbs that are actually penetrating. Perhaps the traditional view of needling is, yes, it's a major mechanical process, it's a diverse product range, but everybody thinks it's a slow process. Oh yes, it is a replacement for woolen press felt, because needling really came to the fore when synthetic fibres were developed and people were saying, well, we can't use the same processes on things, synthetic fibres, as we do on wool. It doesn't shrink in the same way under with the action of water and pressure. And this is when, although needling was already about, it became developed in great detail to make equivalent products of high density. And most people, certainly in Europe, probably the first time they came across needle felt was walking on resin impregnated flat floor covering. This gives you some idea of the product range. There's the floor covering, automotive parts, geotextiles, civil engineering fabrics, various weights of wipe, shoe materials, and there are many others that can be added to that. Maybe the most significant one that's missing is filtration fabrics. But the reality of needling is now that because of machinery development, the lines run much faster, we can produce much lighter felt weights. And for some time now, needling has been a significant process for making endless tubes of down to several centimetres in diameter, and also for making machine belts. All paper is made on needle felt, endless needle felt belts, which can be 10 metres wide and maybe up to 50 metres long. And of course, as you saw on the previous slide, the floor coverings are no longer flat. By using a secondary process, we can either make a velour structure in the surface or we can put patterns in the surface. So there are sophisticated needle products. And the advantages of this process within the gamut of non-woven processes are that all fibres can be needled. There's no concern about the effect of water, the effect of chemicals, the effect of heat. If you can make a web of fibres, you can needle it. There's a wide range of width, which I've already indicated, and thickness density relationships from needling, because you can needle as hard as you like or as soft as you like, and from the same weight of fibre, you can produce either quite a thick or a very dense structure. And the other thing is, because of the way that needling works, pushing fibres down into the Z direction of the web to provide the locking of the structure, you can also use it to join different layers of different materials together. What might be thought of as limitations? Well, basically, web formation determines the product uniformity, but I think that's generally true of non-woven processes. that bonding processes, whilst they do what they're supposed to do, they can have a tendency, if you like, to disturb product uniformity or web uniformity, and needling can certainly be guilty of that. Also, with conventional needling, you need a minimum weight to produce a Z-direction to lock it together, and also to avoid excessive distortion during needling, which produces drafting and non-uniform structure. And of course, the lighter the web, the more likely that is to occur. And the other thing, when you get into lightweight areas, to be competitive, production speeds have got to be high. And traditionally, production speeds with needling are low compared with other non-woven processes. But in comparison with other non-woven processes, in general, most non-woven processes don't compete with each other. Often the application determines which technology is going to be used. Okay, I've said that needling has replaced pressed wool and felt, and certainly thermal bonding has replaced a lot of adhesive bonding, and as a further stage, hydroentanglement or spun lace has replaced some adhesive and some thermal. But people always think there's a clash between hydroentanglement and mechanical needling, but in fact, and it was interesting to see that also today, there are lines out there in production where mechanical needling comes first to provide the fastening together of the structure, and then hydroentanglement follows to add to certain properties in terms of drape and handle. So they're complementary rather than always in opposition to each other. What I want to say a few words about is needle felt production in terms of the quality and quantity of the product, because those are the things that you're interested in when you're setting up a process. What are the sources of limitations to quality and quantity, and what improvements can we get from machinery? Of course, you say, how do you define quality? And this depends on application. In some cases, appearance is an important aspect of quality. Weight and thickness, I would suggest, is always an important aspect of quality. Properties, it might be easy to do standard lab tests and say, this product is going to be acceptable for this application. In other cases, the performance is so specific that you can't just do a direct lab test and say it's good enough. You've got to test it, and on that basis you've got to say that it's of the right quality because it performs. Applications such as paper machine felts, you can measure permeability, you can measure rate of compaction, but the actual performance on the machine is a combination of those things which you certainly can't assess in a single lab test. And quality, as I've said before and repeat again, is always dependent on web formation. This is one aspect of quality. Here's what might be considered a typical line. Off the slide here is opening and blending. There's a card feeder, there's a carding machine. There's a cross lapper here, the function of which is to increase the weight beyond the weight of a single card web, and also to increase the width beyond the width of the card. And in this case, this goes into a single needle loom. And there are two extra pieces of equipment added onto this. One is this scanning device here, which traverses across the width of the material after the needle loom and measures the weight and gives a printout of weight. And that is triggered by this drafting device, which works on the single web as it comes out of the card. It's disced rollers, which actually stretch the web on a fiber-fiber basis to make small adjustments to the structure to get uniformity after the needle loom. These red lines simply relate to the fact that this unit here knows where the edges are on the cross lapper. Because traditionally with cross lappers, because the web comes from a card continuously, a cross lapper has to stop and start again. So traditionally from a cross lapper you get a smile weight profile. Traditionally from needling, because you draft the web through the needle loom, you get the opposite. You get that sort of profile. So we need to balance them out. And the important thing is the profile after the needle loom. A lot of work has been done on providing flat profiles out of the cross lapper, but that's not the important place. The important place is after the needle loom. So that we can now do, and that improves the quality. And this shows you that not only does it improve the quality, but it improves reduces the amount of fibre that you need to make a certain product. Because if you're making a 200 gram needle felt and you've got a plus or minus 30 gram specification, then if you're working with a CV of 5, then you actually have to have an average weight of 197 grams to guarantee that you're always above 170. Obviously, nobody wants to supply in this area here. Ideally, we want to supply in this area as low down as close to 170 as possible to be in spec. So with a CV of 5, we have to have an average weight of 197. If we can reduce the CV to 1, then we can operate at 177. And immediately we've got a fiver savings of 11.3%. So this improvement in quality is not only gives your customer a benefit, but it also gives you a benefit because you're spending less money on fiver. And I've used the example of 5% down to 1%, but you might actually be starting off at 8%, and you might be able to reduce it to 3%. And you can see that you can save anywhere between 20% and 5% of fibre by any improvement that you can make in that uniformity. So that is a worthwhile addition to any needle felt line. Quantity is a little bit easier to get a handle on, because generally there are two ways of assessing it. Some people use card throughput on the basis that you can only get as much fibre at the wind-up as you can get through the card, so there's a limitation. But because it's the square metres at the wind-up that you actually sell, you can also use that as a measure of the quantity that a line produces. But of course, this varies with felt width, it varies with the punch density, and it varies with the felt width. If some products have got more needling in, then you might need an extra needle loom, or you would end up running slowly to get that punch density, and you wouldn't get as many square metres a minute at the wind-up. The potential bottlenecks to quantity is, as I've already indicated, card capacity. Also, lapper in-feed speed. There's no point having a high-speed card if the cross-lapper won't take the web at a suitable speed to lay it down and put it into the needle loom. And also the number of needle looms, because if you make a range of products, you need a range of punch densities. Some products you might have to run slowly than you need to, because you haven't got enough needling capacity. One way you can improve throughput capacity with new machinery and run your card at maximum capacity all the time is by including a web drafter in the line after the cross-lapper. And this web drafter consists of 5 trios of wire-covered rolls, which provide a gradual drafting. This is the inlet side and this is the exit. They provide a gradual drafting from one trio to the next to literally thin the web out, as if you were taking a sliver and drawing it out during yarn process. So in this way, when you're making a lightweight fabric, a lightweight web, you don't have to turn the card capacity down. You can keep the card capacity up, and you can in fact, obviously, you come out of this at a faster speed than you went in, so you gain on production speed as well. So this also is a fairly recent innovation to improve production economics. And that's a picture of an actual machine, and it shows it open on the basis that you can, when you're making the heavier weights, you can just lift the top rollers, put the material through. When you're making light weights, you bring it down and put it in operation. There are two problems with conventional needling. One is that the needles restrict web movement. On a needle loom, the web moves continuously. 30 years ago, on a needle loom, the web would stop, the needles would come down, the web would move and stop, and the needles would come down. But in those days, we only had 100 strokes a minute. Once we got over 1,000 strokes a minute, and we're now up to 3,000 strokes a minute, then the material has to move all the time. So when the needles pass down through the web, they're restricting the movement. The other thing is the advance per stroke is limited. Because the material is moving and dragging the needles, if you, on a normal needle loom, if you get above an advance of maybe 20 millimetres, then the needles are pulled into the plates and the needles break. So it's not a practical process. So that two things that are limitations with vertical needling. And this gives you some idea of dwell time. In other words, the amount of time during each cycle that the needle is in the web. And it varies with, well, let's assume the looms are generally have strokes, vertical strokes of 30, 40 or 60 millimetres. This is probably the most common. And as the penetration and or the web thickness increases, you can see that up to 40% of each stroke, the needle is preventing web movement. And to combat this, we've developed this new technology of elliptical needling. And on this slide, the web is moving from left to right. and the needles aren't moving up and down anymore. They're actually moving in the form of an ellipse. And we can alter this dimension of the ellipse to take account of various factors. And the theory is that, obviously, in the first three quadrants of this ellipse, the needle is moving in the same direction of the web. It's moving with the web. It's not moving against the web. It's not restricting the web. And therefore, those factors that I said earlier were restrictions on conventional needle have been taken out of the equation. Only in this reverse quadrant here is the needle, when it's out of the web, moving against the web. Moving against the web. And this shows you what range we've got with this what we call the horizontal stroke. It varies with the web advance, and it also varies with these factors that affect dwell time, the penetration and the web thickness. So as you increase the web advance per stroke to reduce the punch density, then equally well you can increase the horizontal stroke. If you have a thicker web or you increase the penetration, then equally well you can increase the horizontal stroke. So it's flexible, it's not fixed. And the advantages of this technology are increased throughput speed potential, because now we can have advance per strokes up to 50 millimetres. If we have 3,000 strokes, we can run needle line at over 100 metres a minute. Reduction in dimensional changes, because we're not stopping the web against the needles. We're going to get a much more uniform product out of this needle loom. People pay a lot of attention to buying fine needles because they think they're going to get better surfaces. And then if you needle conventionally, the web is dragged against the needles. And in fact, you don't get a nice fine hole. You get a stretch mark in the surface. So the extra money for the fine needles is wasted, and the surface is not too good anyway. So because the needle is moving with the web, the surface is improved, and you get a needle hole size which actually reflects the gauge of the needle. And also, you actually know what the advance per stroke is, because when you're going through this stretching motion, you don't really know what your exact advance per stroke is. People have found less needle breakage with this, and because the needle and the web are working together, they've got better fibre entanglement, and they've seen reduced damage to woven base cloths. So there are a lot of benefits to this. One of the implications is needle looms are not always single boards. They can be two boards in parallel. They can be four boards running, two from the top, two from the bottom. One of the things you would never have as a first loom would be a four-board machine, because the dwell time would be up to 80%. There'd be so much distortion, it wouldn't be practical. And this is what you see reflected on this. But with elliptical needling, you actually seem to get a slight improvement or a slight reduction when you've got all four needle boards. So there are a lot of lines out there now that only have one needle loom, and it's a four-board machine, and it's an elliptical needling machine. Just to say a few more words, I'll go back to weight. I said originally that needling had a very wide weight range, and I was really thinking of 100 grams to maybe 3,000 grams, but maybe not below 100 grams. And the reason for being over 100 grams is, as we've said, the drafting during needling is greater below 100. The other processes are faster. And obviously, if you've got a great thickness of web, your needles are going to be more efficient. If you want to go below 100, you need this best web uniformity. You need to take out this draft. You need to increase the speeds. You also need to be able to needle 1 to 2 Decitex fibre, because normally needle punching starts about 3.3 and goes up to 100 or whatever. And all this you need to do without surface defects, and you need good fabric properties. And the approach to needling is rather strange, because what we've done is we've developed needles that are less efficient. You would consider normally that these were inefficient needles. We're looking for much less transfer per punch, but we're going to use a very high punch density to lock all the fibres together, a very high board density. And to get the speed, then, we can use high advance and strokes. And so we've taken the elliptical motion one step further, made it into a cyclical motion. And the sort of parameters we're using are with a vertical and horizontal stroke of 25 millimetres, very high needle board density, very high advance per stroke, and a high punch density, and a needle penetration of 5 to 7 millimetres, which is related to this specific needle design. That shows you a normal needle with fibres hooked around each barb going down through the web. In this case, we've designed a needle with one barb close to the point, and there's only enough room in this barb basically for one fibre. So each penetration only pulls down one fibre. And Hence, it locks the structure together without distorting it. And this is a typical line for this process. We've got all the opening and blending again, carding, high-speed cross-lapper, one elliptical needler as a pre-needler, and then a block of these cyclical units to put all this punch density in. Applications are typical of lightweight non-wovens. Comparison with spun lace, because obviously people say, well, okay, you're now in the 50 to 80 gram range. How does this compare with spun lace? Our experience to date is that the needle structure is lower density than spun lace, and it does have equivalent abrasion resistance. It's got a better balanced strength ratio because generally cross lappers have been used, but there is more dimensional change in the process because the web isn't held in the same way as it's held during a spun lace process. And importantly, the capital expenditure is lower with the needle option, less space is required, and lower processing costs because there's much less energy. So what I've tried to show you is that maybe what you thought about needling isn't true, and that the limitations have been lifted. We can now run over 100 meters a minute. We can now run well below 100 grams. We've got good control. We can make uniform products, high quality products. And the elliptical needling motion has driven a lot of this progress. And before anybody tells me I haven't mentioned cotton, I should point out that the rules are the same for cotton. If you can form a web, you can needle it. The only things to be aware of are needle selection, which is always important, but maybe more so with cotton, because it forms such a dense mat, you don't want a needle that's too efficient, otherwise you're going to get bent and broken needles. You want to limit the amount of needling that can be done on each penetration. And similarly, you don't want too high a needle bore density, because otherwise you'd get high loads during needling as well. But if you take care of those, then you can needle cotton just in the way as you would any synthetic. So I'm sorry it was a rush, but I wanted to tell you all that, and that's it.
Do you have time for one or two questions if you have?